Welcome everybody to the Slowpoke's Fastcast.
I am Slowpoke number 2, David Chalante.
And I'm Slowpoke number 1, John Nicolaitis. And I'm very glad that you did that because it always trips me up. But here we are, fast paced and ready to go. Action packed, jumping off the walls.
Less the second part of that and more the earlier part with the action and the energy. Ka-pew! Not so much the parkour.
Ka-pew, ka-pew.
Because microphones are firmly attached to the table.
Also, don't put your feet on my walls, that'd be bad.
Yeah.
They don't mind.
It'd affect like the resale value of the house, probably.
Most definitely if we put our feet through the walls.
Okay. Here's a fun anecdote for when you and I were young teenage friends. Do you remember the time I literally did that?
What?
Put my foot through the wall at the drama place we used to.
Yes.
Yeah.
How can I not? I have you distinctly jumping through the air.
Yeah. Fuck. That was an awkward teenager moment.
I thought you were going to talk about the time that a friend of mine put his head through my sister's wall.
Oh no, I didn't know that story.
No.
Yeah. See, I don't know things when I'm not there and not invited, John.
That was a good point.
Yeah. All right. So welcome, folks, to our Fastcast. We got some good stuff on the agenda that's current and up to date.
Yes.
I love how at the start of these, we try and force the energy out a little bit more and start acting like we're fucking midday Fox hosts.
I mean, one can dream.
I want to say Fox. I don't mean Fox Media like the US. I mean like Fox FM in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not as bad, I think. I don't know.
I don't think there's quite the same political bent. Anyway, why don't we start with a massive thing that Fox News is probably super angry about. Doctor Who.
Yeah. So, what is it? Jodie Whittaker is the new Doctor.
Yep, I'm pretty sure I Googled it. It is Jodie Whittaker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, if it's not, when I say Jodie Whittaker, it'll be me overdubbing.
So, Jodie Whittaker is, she is an actor that I respect through her work, not so much through knowing her personally. That's why I'm a little bit tenuous on the name there.
I see her and I go, that looks like a good British actor.
Have you not seen Broadchurch?
No.
Oh God, dude, Broadchurch is so good. Okay.
So many things are so good.
I've seen season 1 and season 2 of Broadchurch. I'm pretty sure they're up to season 4 now. Season 1 is very good. Season 2 is not as good.
Okay,
it is not as good.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, they have... do you know the premise of it?
No, I have no idea what Broadchurch is.
Yeah, no, it's fucking awesome. So,
David,
like,
tell me about Broadchurch right now.
It's a small British West Country town, I'm pretty sure, and there's a murder in the town, right? Mm-hmm. And so far, so generic, right?
Yes.
But it's a 13-episode series, and it's all just about that one murder.
Okay.
So it's a long-form thing where you have the people who live in the town, and they suspect different people, and they need to be different people. Davey Ten-Tens, my boy, is a detective from, like, Edinburgh or something.
Place where his accent is.
Yeah, he's from like a major city. I forget if it's Edinburgh or if it's London, but he has his Scottish accent.
Always love that Scottish.
Yeah, it's so good. He plays a detective who's been like moved out into the country because of some, you know, personal shit in his life. He works with, God, why can't I remember her name? But the actor who plays the lead female detective who actually lives in the town, and Jodie Whittaker is the mum of the kid that's actually been murdered.
Oh, nice.
So she does a lot of good work, like amazingly good like performance stuff in that. She's also in a movie with John Boyega, which I haven't seen, which is Attack the Block, which is like a British, I think a B-grade movie where like aliens invade.
Yeah. I think it's a good B-grade. Yeah,
Yeah. Like I've only heard good things about it. But anyway, she's the Doctor now. Hooray!
Hooray! A new Doctor! I liked Capaldi. I liked the idea of Capaldi, but I couldn't watch any of it. I don't know what it was. There was something after...
So are you actually a Doctor Who... observer.
There's a couple of things we're going to talk about. But Doctor Who, at least the reboot of Doctor Who series, was something that my family watched together.
Mm.
We would all, like me, my sister,
and
my
that was,
parents.
What's his name? Who was the first one?
I can't remember. It's the bald guy.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, gang. It's me, John, in the studio. The name of the bald guy is Christopher Eccleston. Yeah, but...
then it was, of course, number 2, Davey Ten-Tens.
Unfortunately, Davey Ten-Tens has blocked out all the other names.
Yeah.
But I remember we watched as a family, and so it became a really big family thing, and then me and my sister would watch the show, and it was a thing we would do together. All the way up until... was it Joseph's... The one before Capaldi.
I'm going to Google that.
Right before...
I am not a Doctor Who
David
fan.
Smith?
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, again, if I got it wrong, this will be overdubbed with the David Smith.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's... David Smith?
The tail end of...
You're just going to go Doctor Who.
Oh my God.
Keep going.
Any hoodle poodle. Ugh, I can't believe I said David Smith. It's Matt Smith. Matt Smith's the Doctor with the Fez. So it's a really big emotional family thing. When Capaldi came in, my life changed. Like, my family kind of split and we kind of stopped watching Doctor Who. So I just...
I've never been a fan of it. A friend of mine, because, okay, the reboot of Doctor Who is surprisingly old. I'm pretty sure I was still in high school.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
When it got rebooted.
I remember binge-watching these over the holidays.
Yeah. And so, even back then, there were a couple of my friends who were really into it and were like, oh, you got to watch it. I watched, like, one or two episodes and just couldn't get behind it. On Mars was another series for me that was very much like that. There's something about that narrative style that's just... It doesn't quite click. It doesn't quite have the polish that I wanted from TV at that time.
Yeah, and it doesn't. And it's like, yeah. I suppose with that polish, it's like it's almost intentionally not polished at times. Like,
yeah,
and it leans into that.
I think if I was to go back, if I was going to try and pick it up, I'd go from David Tennant and start there. Because at the very least, he is an actor who invests very well in different kinds of energy, and he has a lot of range, and I think that I'd like him as a Doctor.
I'm just completely blindsided by nostalgia. So I can't look back without it being an emotional thing.
And I don't mean that critically, of course.
No, like, of course.
I am wrong about Doctor Who. It is clearly proved to be a show with very wide appeal and a very good gender balance in the audience, I imagine, as well, right?
I think so, from memory. I don't have the stats, but I feel like it does, because you always think of who watches Doctor Who? Anybody and everybody.
Yeah. Like, all of the people I know who are real big fans of it are women.
So it got me. I was like, neat. You know, Jodie Whittaker is going to be the new Doctor.
Yeah.
I liked all the of the new Doctors. I liked how they were all different. You know what I mean? And this is just a new, different Doctor.
We've got to... obviously, we're going to address the elephant in the room. The reason this is news at all is because she's a woman, right?
Yeah, of course.
Which is a new thing. For the series.
Oh, is it? Are women a new thing?
Yeah, like, straight off the presses, like, right out of Paris, cutting-edge technology, this thing called women,
man,
right?
What have I been doing with my life?
They're like people that have factories in them that can make more of them.
How ingenious.
Like, new features all the way down. So, yeah, no, Jodie Whittaker is the first female Doctor. People have wanted this for a really long time, and Stephen Moffat has been a prick about it, basically.
Really?
Yeah.
Stephen...
You read some quotes from this guy, and I know that I'm reading them out of context, but it's just like, previous generations, I guess? It's just very, like, is that really the best you can do?
Yeah, I get some really just... uncomfortable things like in the fan. I don't know exactly any of the stats because I don't follow that closely, but I feel like when you say Stephen Moffat, my brain goes, ugh.
Yeah. he's most famous outside of Doctor Who and Sherlock for a series called Coupling, which it's not a dating show, but it's a BBC comedy show.
Right.
Right. And it's about being adults and dating and stuff like that. And there's a lot of like very easy gendered jokes and jokes about like gay people and stuff like that that have aged very badly. It's like a late 90s show, I think.
The way you pantomimely waved your hands around is how that feels. That makes me feel. Yeah, it's like, whoo!
There's a lot of stuff. And like, Moffat is an easy target now as well, because I've read a number of things. Like, I've seen a criticism of Irene Adler in Sherlock, for example.
Sure.
Where the person was like, oh, you know, here's this great gay woman, and look, she settled down for a man. Thanks again, Moffat. And it's like, that's not that character, though. You've just completely misread that. Because you want to punch at Moffat, who's an easy target. Moffat is still, from what I've read, very hard to redeem.
I always think that when you're going to punch someone, punch them for the right reason.
Yeah, exactly.
And also with your words.
And it's like this. It's like my problem with conspiracy theories, right? There's enough to be angry at already.
Yeah.
We don't need to make up extra stuff. There's enough to be angry at with Moffat already.
Yeah.
We don't have to make up more.
But in all honesty, this has kind of got me interested in maybe checking out the new season.
And I did just say that thing about like, if I was going to try and get into it, I'd probably go back to Tennant. I meant that from a perspective of if I was going to go early on and pick up the series as a whole. I am more enthusiastic about watching Whittaker in this role than I have been in however many fucking years it's been since Doctor Who got rebooted. Like, she is a great actor.
I always think all the Doctors are supposed to be different. It's supposed to reflect current... Like, they're supposed to be different things in points of time. And so I'd just be great to see what they do.
Yeah. No, I'm super... Good job, everyone. Fuck the haters.
Fuck the haters. Woo!
All right, another Twitter storm argument that's been going around at the moment is a lot more transient.
We're going to go through all the Twitter fights right now.
Yeah, well, we start with the Twitter fights and we start talking about TV. That's what the rundown says here.
Yeah, Twitter, tweet, TV.
In the last couple of days, someone, I don't know who, I haven't been following it that closely, but a game developer came out and they said that they'd gotten a lot of feedback from their fans that when they find out that their games were made in Unity, they were like, not buying it because Unity as an engine has such a poor reputation.
Mm.
This person came out and said, it's the game journo's fault. They're making Unity look out to be a bad engine. They're ruining my business. And so now everybody's having a fight.
Internet fight! Pull on!
At this point, by the time this podcast gets released, this is going to be pretty well out of date, I imagine. Like, the dust will have settled on this, and I think most people will have, like, walked away from this with a reasonable position.
That's vaguely optimistic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? That, like, the handful of people who got really loud and angry about this are going to say their thing, and then most people are going to say the obvious thing, which is an engine is a tool, and that tool will have strengths and weaknesses.
Isn't it just
different,
like,
engines are used for different jobs.
Isn't it just like how Twitter is sometimes used by haters, like in trolls and
in
things
a way,
like that?
I suppose. What I'm trying to get at here is that, like, it's reductive to be all like, a game made in Unity is shit. Obviously, that's wrong. It's also reductive to say Unity's bad reputation is the fault of game journalists.
Yes.
And game journalists have also been saying, no, it's not our fault, it's actually YouTube's fault and YouTubers. And YouTubers have been going, nah, it's the traditional game media's fault. Just a fucking shitfest, because anybody with half a fucking neuron in their head and anybody who has, like, the vaguest idea of how this works understands, like I was saying, that an engine is a fucking tool, right? And there are ones that are good for some reasons, ones that are good for other reasons, and there are so many good games that are made in Unity that aren't the shitty asset flips.
Also, you know, we're a community. It's all of our faults.
Yes, exactly. And, like, very few people, obviously some people are saying this. Unity also, like, the creators of Unity are responsible in some ways as well. And even if the only reason is because if you pay for a license with Unity, you don't have to display the Unity logo. So people who are more invested in their products pay to use the tool and get the better tools that are deeper in the engine, and also not to display the Unity logo. The people who are making shitty quick asset flips to exploit loopholes in, like, the Steam marketplace and make money even though the game's not actually selling, they're the ones who don't pay, and so the Unity logo shows up before their game.
Awkward.
Yeah. So even
that backfired.
Yeah. Even if all that Unity did was make the logo come up in front of every game or in front of no games, the image problem would be solved.
Would you,
like,
swap it?
Not solved, but it would be improved.
You just swap it. You
swap it around. Yeah, if you pay for the tool, we want our logo on your game. Nvidia comes up before a whole bunch of fucking, like, massive AAA budget games. Yeah. Unreal logos, all that stuff. Like, I don't know why Unity is so like, oh, hey, get rid of our shame symbol. Maybe they're capitalizing on it now because there is so much shame associated with Unity, and everybody who, like, takes pride in their product wants the thing gone. The thing that frustrates me the most about this whole situation is, once again, I have to sit as amongst the group of gamers and shake my head at how dumb some of us are who will look at a game and go, oh, it's made in Unity, fuck off. Like,
yeah.
this tunnel vision, specific metrics kind of view, this completely mechanical view of what a game is.
It's Windows, Apple, like, Linux, iPhones, Android, Ford,
the other car, the lion.
One sports team, the other sports team.
Yeah.
I wish I had actual references. I'm ashamed.
Carlton and Collingwood.
Oh, yeah. That's real.
The Pies and the Blues.
Well, actually, it's really Collingwood and everybody else.
Yeah.
But there's as much sport knowledge as I know.
The point you raise is a good one, though. People like to
get into teams and get into fights.
And think binary. This is a quote. I say it a lot. I think it sums up how I feel about a lot of things. Disavowal is an incomplete strategy. Looking at Unity and going, it's a shit engine, fuck off. Like, that's just it's a dumb way to be alive. A person who does that, I know I'm not making any new audience members by saying this. If you think that, you're fucking dumb. I'm sorry. Like,
oh, geez,
Hand of
friends.
Fate was made in Unity. Hearthstone was made in Unity. Ori and the Blind Forest was made in Unity. Think more deeply than that. Be more awake.
So I sometimes I feel like certain social media platforms are not conducive to nuanced discourse.
Oh God, no, yeah.
And it's like, I sometimes wonderful things happen on Twitter, but I feel like it's counter to the way it flows. Mm. And, like, I feel like Facebook's the same way. and I feel like Reddit has its own problems. But sometimes I'm like, we always talk about people connecting, but then there's, I'm also, sometimes I feel like, yeah, but a lot of the time we just parrot things back to each other endlessly. Yeah. And but I don't know how much of that is new social media stuff.
Did CPG Grey do a video on the virality of different types of content?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, I am going to link that in the description of this. It's a very interesting video about why certain things propagate and spread online and how we turn that and what that conversation is about. Way bigger than we have time to go into here, but it's a very good video and I recommend you guys watch it.
I'm actually also going to remind myself when I edit this to link the Angry Joe sort of series of videos that talks about anger and hate and that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. I haven't seen that. So, if for no other reason, I'll find that beneficial. Yeah,
they're very interesting. They discuss, like, why people get angry and how it can exacerbate on the internet and things like that.
Talking about people getting angry on the internet, Ed Sheeran had a cameo in Game of Thrones.
So, the reason why we're not just talking about Game of Thrones is because I'm not up to date.
Also, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to be another one of these like rush out the door recap things where we just shit something out 2 hours after the episode airs just to say what happened in the episode.
I have no problem with that depending on the people.
Fair point. So I am being dismissive of the medium as a whole.
So for example, Cracked does Game of Thrones recap, which I watch because I love the people that Cracked.
Yeah.
And I love the personalities that appear.
Let's Plays have a similar product, isn't it? It's not about watching the game. It's about watching the people that are discussing the game.
As an aside, I think there is a place for that, but I get what you mean when you just see wall to wall everybody writing.
This is my thing as well. I know a lot of people, and I'm going to be cautious about how I phrase this because I'm pretty sure I'm not friends with most of these people anymore. But there was a period of time when I was in uni.
Yeah.
All of the people in my writing course were all doing that as a way to be all like, yeah, we're writing every day. And so my Facebook feed was dominated by everybody's personal blogs of their own recaps of Game of Thrones. And all it was basically, oh my God, I was so surprised by that. Remember when that bit happened? Yes, I saw it an hour ago.
And that goes back to what I was talking about.
There's nothing added to the conversation.
When a text has no personality, it's a Wikipedia page. It's a badly written Wikipedia page, you know what I mean? And I read Wikipedia for its very clinical descriptions of things, and I love it for you. Wikipedia, I love you. But, yes.
We're here to talk about Ed Sheeran, though, aren't we?
Yeah. So, I found it jarring to see, like, I feel like it's just his face, the Ed Sheeran face in the Game of Thrones. And I get this with big-name actors anyway. It's why I find... she does the Widowmaker in Marvel.
ScarJo?
Yeah, ScarJo. That's why I find Scarlett Johansson to be like, oh, it's Scarlett Johansson in something.
Yeah.
And same with, who's the one who's in the Ocean's 11 movies? He's really handsome and he's the most handsome man. No, the other one.
George Clooney.
Yeah. Also, like, George Clooney. When George Clooney's in something, it's George Clooney in a thing.
John couldn't remember either of those names, and he's going to cut out the part where I remind him. God. But I think it's really important that the audience at home knows that he did not remember the names of Scarlett Johansson or George Clooney.
I'm going to leave this in just to prove that I'll appreciate a joke even when it's against me. But seeing Ed Sheeran's face in Game of Thrones, which is what we're talking about, it just felt like that.
See, I think that there are reasons that some people... Let's just say this. The reaction was way too much. People got too angry about this. The other thing that I think is very, very important... I have seen the episode. Ed Sheeran, there's one or two too many close-ups and they linger a little bit too long. I get that that's annoying. The character... He is cast well.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't steal the scene. He isn't like a new character. He is cast as a Lannister soldier and looks perfectly good in that role. Every line he delivers well. They don't give him something that he fucks up. It's the problem is with the editing and the cinematography of him being in that scene, not the casting of him being in that scene. That's my feeling about it.
It looked like it was about to start one of his music videos, that's all.
I don't know if it... I wouldn't say it went that far, right?
I actually haven't seen any of his music videos, so I can't really...
Now, I understand that a lot of people are frustrated with Ed Sheeran's saturation. I think that there's merit to that conversation, that right now he can't seem to... Like, everything he releases is just ridiculously successful. People may be sick of looking at him, whatever. I don't listen to the radio. I don't really watch music videos. So I'm not exposed to that saturation, you know? So I'm talking from a very specific perspective. All that said, let's not fling so much anger and hatred at someone that they delete their social media account. That sucks. It doesn't matter how famous that dude is. That sucks.
Did he delete his social media?
Yeah, he deleted his Twitter account because people were flinging so much hate at him.
I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah.
Internet... Go look in a mirror.
Yeah,
what
just
are you doing?
Just take a breath, internet.
Don't be like, mean to Ed Sheeran.
Just get less
for that reason.
About stuff.
I'm sure there's a good reason to get mad at Ed
Sheeran. When he released that song about dating an Irish girl and it was full of stereotypes and Irish people were upset by that. Yes. High five. Go Ireland. You are correct.
Yes.
Your concerns are valid. Yeah. Oh, he was in a Game of Thrones episode. Oh, God. As if you wouldn't take up in a heartbeat a spot on a Game of Thrones episode.
Oh, yeah. If
every single person in the world. Hey, you want to be on Game of Thrones for an afternoon? We'll give you $20,000. Sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, most people do it for free.
Yeah.
Like, if someone was like, hey, John and David, do you want to be in Game of Thrones? You know, in case someone asks, because they might ask.
Yeah.
They won't. Not at all. Not in the slightest. But I would do it. Why not?
Yeah. If the McElroys can't get on Trolls 2, I don't think we're going to get on Game of Thrones.
That's a good point.
All right. That was Ed Sheeran. That happened.
So I'm on Facebook, you know, looking at the inane things that I do on Facebook, when all of a sudden I see Will Smith's face next to an orc in an LAPD cop car.
So anytime I get to see Will Smith's face, I think that's a good day.
I mean, it's just a nice... A, it's a nice face.
Yeah.
B, it's Will Smith.
And it's like, has he fucked up? I don't think he's fucked up, right?
Again, I'm sure if we go through the records, there might be something here or there.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like he's done anything publicly egregious.
Yeah, I don't think he's like... He's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, real big Styles.
Yeah,
please correct us if we're wrong. I want to know if he has.
Most definitely.
I want to be fully aware about, you know, the people in media that I look up to. But, yeah, it's good to see Will Smith in a thing.
And I can barely contain myself. It's such an interesting thing, this show called Bright, which is like a modern day fantasy world where orcs and elves and shit live in the real world. And it's also directed by the guy who did Suicide Squad and Fury.
That is not a sale point, my friend.
But he's...
I haven't seen Fury, but I've seen Suicide Squad.
I can't remember what the other movie is. Maybe I'll insert later. I won't do that. I'm lazy. Anyway,
hey, John in the studio. Totally not lazy. Just want to let you know, though, that David does elaborate on all the other movies and who the director is. So I'll let him do it.
But I feel like this... When I was thinking about Suicide Squad, I was excited to see what the director would do. And then ultimately, I was disappointed because he made Suicide Squad. So I was a fan of End of Watch, has Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña in it. And I really liked it because it was like this interesting, gritty action movie about kind of terrible cops and this whole thing.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list. I haven't seen it yet.
And having that movie in mind and then going to see Suicide Squad, I was obviously disappointed. But I'm still...
It's insane that those two movies were directed by the same person.
And that's
like,
why...
Let's not go into the whole studio bullshit with Suicide Squad, but like...
That's why I'm interested to see what happens with Bright. Because the premise excites me. What I see in the trailer excites me. And I just want to see how he follows through.
Because, yeah, I mean, this is David Ayer, who did, obviously, End of Watch, like you said, and
Fury.
Street Kings and Fury. I haven't seen Fury, but I've seen Street Kings, and that's a good movie.
Yeah.
So,
you said
he's
Keanu
good
Reeves,
at cops.
It?
Yeah, it's got Keanu Reeves and fucking Captain America in it. It's got Chris Evans.
I'm shocked that I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, this is obviously Chris Evans before anybody knew his name. I think this was before he was in Jumper? Loop? Jumper?
Was he in Looper?
Push. He was in Push.
Right.
Because there was Jumper and there was Push, and Chris Evans was in Push. Hayden Christensen was in Jumper.
I liked Push. It was all right.
Yeah, Push was okay.
Yeah. Interesting world. But that's why I'm curious to see it, because it's like that Netflix original, so I'll get it right on my streaming platforms.
Yeah, it's a movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be able to watch it in the comfort of my own home, and it just looks interesting. It has Will Smith in it.
Yeah. So. I saw a trailer for that like a fair while ago, and I'm lukewarm on it. I'll see it and see how I feel afterwards. Because it looks like it could be real good. It looks like it could be an easy paycheck for Will Smith.
True, true. But I always think that even on an easy paycheck for Will Smith, he still delivers Will Smith. And like, I was criticizing some actors for being themselves. I do like some actors for being themselves.
Yeah. I feel like I prefer variety. Anyway, that's Bright. The other Netflix-related thing that we should talk about is that you, my friend, have finally fucking watched Stranger Things.
Now, that response is appropriate because I really should have watched it, because it turns out I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, and this is the thing about Stranger Things. It's the exact kind of fucking show that you would love. Like, there are people I know who would really like Stranger Things. It's the kind of show that you would love.
So, everyone who knows me probably knows why. I find 80s kids annoying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really...
I'm confusing you with someone else because I thought you loved that shit.
I really not... I love all the other characters.
Yeah.
You know, the teenagers being teenagers, the police, chief of police, the mother who is...
Winona Ryder.
Yeah, Winona Ryder, who is awesome in it, by the way.
Yeah, she's fucking incredible. It's probably the best thing I've ever seen her do.
But it's just those kids... They can grate on me, right?
Those specific ones, like, or 80s kids in general?
80s kids in general, like the Goonies kids and stuff like that. Yeah. And also the literally psycho bullies, I find.
Yeah.
Like the murder will stab you up bullies, literally kill you, like the bullies.
Yeah.
I find that really, really...
We should. Are we going to drop a spoiler warning for Stranger Things here?
I guess we should.
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to talk about this full spoilers. So, I mean, if you're the one person on the planet who hasn't seen this yet,
I'll tell you how many seconds to skip ahead right now.
John in the studio again, just letting you know that rather than seconds, it's minutes, 10 minutes to be precise. That's how long we talk about Stranger Things. So, just skip to the end. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
So, yeah. Stranger Things. What did you want to spoil something specifically?
Or? Oh, no. Just because you were talking about bullies and stuff. But yeah. In this, straight up, there are bullies who threaten people's lives with fucking knives and shit.
I love the guy who does the turn, right? The boyfriend.
John Ralphio's kid.
Yeah. The one with
Steve,
the,
I think the character's
the
name.
Spoofy hair. Yeah. I love his turn and like reverse turn. I found that to be interesting.
Yeah.
The bullies of the children, I found to be... Just.
Yeah, messed up.
Messed up. And also the children, there were some scenes where it did start to grate, but the variety in the show kept me going.
So everybody's talking about Stranger Things at the moment because season 2 was announced not that long ago. Everybody knew it was coming, but it was like officially confirmed not that long ago. I'm reminded of a movie with Mikey. It was released like two or three days ago at time of recording.
Yeah.
That I watched recently about Stranger Things and Movies with Mikey is a series we're both a fan of. Irreverently positive, right? Just
yeah.
He only talks about the good shit. One of the things that he did not mention in his piece is one of the things that really makes me uncomfortable about Stranger Things, and that's that the older brother,
yes,
whose name I can't remember.
Do you mean the cop?
No, not the cop. Okay, so there's Will who goes missing. His older brother, Winona Ryder's older child.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, him.
Him.
Names escape me.
Yeah, I forget the character's name as well. I saw this like ages and ages ago, where he's like, you know, taking photos of Nancy getting changed and whatever.
Yeah,
and there's this whole
being a creep.
Yeah, just like really not cool stuff.
A great
and,
creeper.
Like, you know, when John Ralphio's kid Steve comes in and gets all like up in his face about it, it's like it's not the perfect solution to that problem. But I feel that of the two actions, what the older brother is doing is probably worse than. Breaking his camera after finding out that he did it.
I mean,
you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I'm not sure. Like,
do you want to grade how bad things are?
Of course not. But but there's this that whole scene. It's like we're supposed to feel so sorry for him, and it's like, dude, though. You did a real fucked up thing. Like,
you're right. I think the scene wasn't critical of him enough.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, in terms of taking photos of people while they're changing, the film was not critical enough of that.
Yeah.
I would like it to be more. Like, just that touch bit. Because there's other parts where characters do kind of bad things and aren't depicted well.
Yeah.
Like the police chief.
And the reason I bring all that up is because you're talking about the turn of Steve's character.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that, like, he's depicted to be such a prick. And in some ways, like, yeah, he's being a territorial boyfriend. But in other ways, it's like, dude is also... Like, I would be massively concerned if I knew somebody was doing that to me or someone that I cared about.
God, I remember the part, though, where he painted slut Nancy Wheeler as a slut over everything.
That was not cool. That was him being an absolute... A douche nozzle.
And again, this is why we don't grade shitty things, because they're all shitty.
Yeah, exactly. And you were talking about Hobbs and the way they depict him when he does some not so great
stuff. Yeah, see, because you said it to me that when Hobbs basically makes a deal, he'll sell out L or 11 to the secret shadowy MK Ultra agency.
Yeah, Umbrella Corp.
Yeah, so they don't all get their minds wiped / murdered because they do that.
Yeah.
I liked how it was portrayed as he was not making a good... he was being the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, for the good reason to protect people, but still doing a bad thing.
See, one of my... I totally agree with you, and I think that's a really good point, that it doesn't really just... have just the good guys and just the bad guys, and they are pretty good at like contextualizing people's behavior. Like, yeah. There's a whole thing with like Barb and the way Barb and Nancy behave to one another, and Nancy's kind of exactly being very good to her friend as well. And so there's like moral complexity to that character. There's a lot of tension between the kids. Like, some of the kids are, what am I trying to say here? Like, they have their own tensions and they sort of attack each other as well. Nobody's perfect, and I kind of like that as well.
Oh yeah,
I made a really dumb joke on Facebook or whatever when I finished the first episode of Stranger Things.
Okay.
And it was something along the lines of, wow, Stranger Things starts off with some pretty strange things. How strange are the things going to be when the things get stranger?
I get to see you as you write that joke.
Right. And that's a dumb joke, right?
Is it?
Yes. But the point I was kind of making there was a concern that it's a horror series that that shows you a lot very early. And if you've listened to any of the podcasts that me and John do, that's a big concern for me. I prefer for the horror element to remain as mysterious as possible for as long as possible. And by the end of the first episode, they've revealed some pretty major stuff that is clearly weird shit's going on here. Stranger Things is a very interesting thing somewhere around like episode 3 or episode 4, where it goes from being like a drama horror-focused series to more of a sci-fi horror-focused thing. So it transitions like a lot of its genre elements.
Mm.
And so from that point, it isn't so much about the character interactions. It's a lot more about contending with the evil, which is a lot more knowable than you might expect from later horrors, but is kind of in line with 80s horrors like Alien.
Or even like E.T.
Yeah, right? That's a good example.
And this is kind of why I think that Stranger Things is... That's why you sum it up as like an 80s nostalgia experience, because it's kind of, it encompasses a lot of different styles of text and media within the 80s.
Exactly. It's got
the kids doing the Goonies thing and going on adventures. And like, I gotta be honest, the D&D stuff really endeared me towards those children. That was a really good mood. Like to make that was, I love that, all the nerd stuff. And like, it's got the kids doing that. It's got the teenagers being teenagers. It's got the cop. It's got, it's like multi-layered. It can explore all those different stories. And that's why I think they managed to pull off an early reveal.
Yeah. And I think that like, it does tie in with a lot of the styles from that time as well. Like, we expect something different from horror now than we did back then. Something else I think is worth mentioning is with a lot of those 80s, the iconography of the 80s, I was technically born in the 80s. I was born in 89, but I have no memory of that time. Yes. All of my understanding of the 80s is through osmosis and through growing up in a period where all of the filmmakers who were making shit grew up in the 80s. Mm. So all I would see is how great the 80s were in media. But there's a lot of little things that don't mean very much to me. Like the fact they communicate with walkie-talkies, or when they have a question about like their science. They have a question about how do you do something. They have to call up their science teacher on the phone. And they get everywhere on their bikes and shit like that. Like that's all very like reminiscent and evocative for people who grew up in that time. And I'm not one of them, so all of that is lost on me.
I personally find myself, as someone who was born between, like, the 80s and the 90s, like, pretty much on the line for me. I think we're both on either side of that line.
Yeah.
I always find myself not being of any time, right? And just kind of, like, I'm... But that being said, I think I'm more nostalgic for the 90s, because that's something I just missed, and, like, I...
So you're thinking if you were born in like 87 or something, you'd have a stronger memory of what growing up in the 90s would be like.
Yeah, like because there's a follow-on effect. Like,
yeah.
Because I became, you know, I turned 10, like I became a conscious like being.
Mm.
Oh, that's a weird way to describe being a teenager. Anyway, when I started taking in media and ideas more cohesively, I then adopted more of desire towards the 90s culture.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like a lot of that 80s stuff, even though I grew up with all of it, it still doesn't feel right to me, and I don't know why. I'm more of an Undertale, vampires, grunge kind of dude.
Yeah, like Blade and Linkin Park and all of that.
Oh, definitely Linkin Park.
There's another current piece of news. Sorry for the bummer, but since I've stumbled onto the topic, Chester Bennington took his own life recently. Yep. I think you and I share a quirk in that a Linkin Park album was the first album that either of us bought.
That's not, unfortunately, not true. It was the first concert I went to. Was a Linkin Park concert. All right. The first album I bought was the original Sam Raimi Spider-Man One soundtrack.
That's a pretty good first album.
Is it? I think...
I would be proud of that if that was mine. The first album I bought, as I said, was Meteora by Linkin Park.
David, we are not music people.
Yeah, we're not. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Linkin Park was a massive influence in my life. They weren't. I'm not a music person. But a lot of people are sad about that, and it felt kind of... It felt insensitive for me to just blast past that.
Especially in this point, yeah.
Yeah, when I've brought it up kind of tangentially.
Linkin Park was a band that I played a lot growing up, and it was music I resonated with in that age, and I appreciated when the band grew and changed, and I was always looking forward to hearing their new stuff, and that was different, and yeah, you know, it was something I enjoyed. It's something that brought me joy.
Yeah.
And that added more to my life and the people around me.
And you only have to spend 5 minutes on Twitter in the past couple of days to see that a lot of people did resonate with it. And from what I understand, again, this is stuff I'm learning recently, he was very... I say outspoken, but a lot of people have expressed that because of his position on suicide and how people who go through that deserve sympathy and that kind of thing, it's been helpful for them, and to lose him in this way is actually quite upsetting for them, which is a shame. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about with Stranger Things? Do we want to move on to some of our smaller topics?
No, I think that's fine. I think that's more than enough.
All right, excellent. Well, once again, thank you all for joining us for our Fastcast.
Fastcast!
If you like what we do, head to iTunes, search for the Slowpokes Podcast, subscribe, rate, and review.
Mm-hmm.
Our main show is a show where we play games that we kind of missed out on at the time and talk about them a little bit after the fact, hence Slowpokes Podcast.
Yeah, and hence why this Fastcast is slightly more relevant.
Yeah.
I just want to point out, like I will be doing on a couple of shows, we might be going through some transitions in terms of where we host the podcast. So just in case, if we suddenly stop talking and we haven't told you about it, there's probably a feed mistake, something that's gone wrong on the RSS backend.
Yep.
So just make sure to refresh it or go to our website or Facebook page.
Yep. Website is slowpokespodcast.com. So if you ever do lose track of us, you can always find us there. Twitter at slowpokescast and Facebook is facebook.com/slowpokespodcast. Just briefly to add to something to what John said about the RSS issues, for 95% of you, it will not be a problem. There's only a small percent of people who would subscribe directly to our RSS feed.
Yep.
You're the ones who might need to look out for that, but we'll communicate plenty about it, so it's not a big deal.
I just want to mention it up front.
Yeah, we don't want to catch anyone off guard.
Yeah, and I also don't want to forget. I don't want to make a change.
That is far more likely that we will just forget. If you want to hear what our next game is, let me scroll to that part of the document.
Yes. Unfortunately, what we have written down there is incorrect.
Yeah. If you're interested in our next game, that will be 1 week from the release of this podcast. That is Invisible Ink.
Yes.
Which is a game that John has played before. I have not. Join us for that. It's a cool kind of stealth puzzly type thing.
Turn-based, tile-based, stealth-based game.
Woo!
There's all the bases.
Yeah.
I covered them all.
All those bases. Yep. You got every single one. In bases. You navigate bases.
Just join us next week where we will talk about it in more detail.
Thanks for joining us once again. Have a great day.
Signing off. Fastcast.